Pulling the sling. Pulling the sling. Pulling the sling. Pulling the sling tech show. Pulling the sling. Pulling the sling. Pulling the sling. Pulling the sling tech show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show. September 8th, 2004.
Shouldn't you even save that for, like, the Halloween show or
good
something?
Evening. Good evening. Good evening. I'd like to show you something scary. It's sitting in the chair behind Link.
It I thought you were going to drop your pants for a minute.
It used to be a man. Now it's a woman, man, with both parts.
With both parts.
I don't know. We should just roll right into our promo so we can get back and talk about some real tech-related stuff.
Yeah.
Word.
To your mother.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel pound tech show. Hope to see you there.
Hi, this is Del Marnaco, all the way from the frigid lands of Minnesota. And when it's too cold to go outside, I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yes, he does. And you know what? He's on the chat now, isn't he?
He is on the chat now. And the cool thing about Dale is, like, he's been the dude that's sending us all the cool stuff.
Yeah,
like,
we'll have another one from him in a little bit.
Yeah, we will. His other one, and he sent us the RM80 one.
Oh, that was him. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's great.
Break the peg leg off in his ass.
And
thing.
His poop
was,
deck.
Yeah, his poop deck. That's what it was.
Alan heard that and wanted his personal phone number and email.
Now, now.
Because he's going to be sailing. He's going to be sailing on high seas later.
Just pick on Alan Day again.
Oh.
That's always pick on me.
You know what? I didn't get to introduce you guys yet. I'm Dan Washko.
Sitting
across from me
is
Link Fezzanen. And behind him with the cheesy grin is Alan Messler.
Always the cheesy grin.
Who, without cheesy. Alan Messler, none of this would be possible.
That's right. Because he brought us the microphones.
Well, and the mixer.
He went out and bought microphones for us real quick and brought the mixer. So.
No, notice how Link just glosses over the mixer. That you brought
No.
Mixer.
That's
he's like,
that's
he
the
brought the microphones.
Thing. Well, like, you gotta, I mean, if the mixer is sitting there with no microphones, you still have no show. You know?
Yeah,
dead air. Isn't the problem.
No, I'm just adjusting my tongue. I guess we should just roll right into the good stuff.
Yeah, why not?
Talk about current events. You guys have any current events?
Current events. Registered a whole bunch of, well, if, you know, people are paying attention to my weblog, they know this, but we registered a whole bunch of cool .info domain names. And by the way, if you are interested right now, I believe right now, you can still register your own .info domain for free.
Free.
Free, my friends, for free. Each customer. That's right.
$3?
Free. Each customer can register. Yeah, sure. You send a $3 per domain name to me. No.
$3?
You send them, where was it going? Oh, domainsite.com and or namesecure.com. You can register your own .info domains for free, and you can register up to 25 for free, which is cool because we got, what did I register?
We got a 20.
A whole bunch of them. TLLTS.info, which, of course, goes right to the Linux Link Tech Show page. OSStream.info, which goes to our open source stream page. The LinuxLink.info, we got that. That goes to the Linux Link page. LVLug.info for our lug. Got a page for Alan Metzler A. What's that?
Which meets next week.
Yeah, that's right.
Still no topic.
MetzlerA.info. This is where you want to go for all your cool news and current events. MetzlerA.info.
Yes, as soon as I start putting them on there.
You check it out because it's the bomb. And we
the
have...
bomb. Site to end all sites.
We have a whole bunch more. I pushed mine through linkgeek.info. And Dan's got his washco.info, which goes to nowhere so far. And then there's a couple more, too. I can't remember right offhand. PPCLinux.info. I'd like to do something cool with that.
Wasn't there Better OS?
Yes, Better OS info and your Mozilla Composer stuff. MozComposer.info.
MozComposer.info.
But some cool stuff, you know, and this is your way to get in and get your very own domain name real fast for nothing. You get it free for a year, and, you know, what the heck. And you heard it here on the Linux Link Tech Show. But those other tech show, Linux show kind of guys aren't telling you.
I don't know. Did you listen to last night's episode?
Why would I listen to that, man? If I want to go to sleep, I just go to sleep.
That's not nice.
It's true, though.
You know, speaking of that. I tonight's not going to be as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Why? What?
Because I can take my iPod with me and listen to the archive shows.
That's right. Going
and last night's Linux show and maybe even tonight's show.
How many shows can you fit on that iPod?
I got them all on there and I got plenty of room.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
How much space
I got, like,
is on it?
Close to 2,000 songs and every single tech show episode on there.
How much space is on the iPod?
15 gigs.
Oh, well... Considering, you know, our entire repertoire takes up some, you know, 600
oh, I threw them all
meg
on a
or something
CD,
like that.
You know?
Yeah.
Like so, but it is nice. It
that's
is
cool,
nice.
Man.
Yeah, and
so when are you getting us one?
Guess what I keep telling him, man. You know what? You guys really
over.
Appreciate the Linux Link Tech Show. We really need to have a couple of iPods over here. You know, one for me and a couple
maybe,
of
maybe,
books too.
Maybe Apple will donate.
Sure.
Yeah. Why don't you write them a letter?
We'll
and
give
say,
them good run.
Hey,
know.
We've been advocating the use of Apple.
Sure.
Hardware, software, and everything. Why don't you send us a couple of iPods so we could review them on our show?
Absolutely.
The trouble with the reviewing ones is you got to give them back.
No, you don't always. No,
it depends on how long the review is, right?
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
They don't make you give reviews products back.
A lot of times they do, yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
Cheap bastards.
They suck, man.
Bow. Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You know, and
I just don't,
that,
you know, how could you give it a proper review if, of course, you have to give it back in a week? I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of bad news, and I know we don't like to talk about this anymore, and we said we weren't, but we still do. We had a catastrophe at work today. It was a nightmare.
Is this the reason you're going back to work tonight?
This is the reason I'm going back to work, and we'll probably be there all friggin' night. Now, we've been having some network issues, right, that we want to try and work out. You know, we want maximum performance. So we called our IU and we said, hey, you know, maybe you can look at some of this stuff. Some quirky things are going on. Maybe you could help us weed this out. So they did some looking at our traffic and they're like, yeah, you're using all your bandwidth. You got a lot of worms and viruses going on in there. Mm-hmm. Shut off our internet connection. That just like that. Now, shut us off. So we traced it down to one school, right?
And one machine.
No, it was It's a nightmare.
The entire school.
Every single XP machine in that building had to be removed from the network. Every single one had to be removed from the network. In fact, we just cut the whole building off. We disabled them completely from being on the network. Because it just was destroying. And what was happening is in the beginning of the summer, when they shut these machines down, a couple of them must have got a little squirrely, got infected with some worm or something. Or one of them over there got infected with a worm. And then when they booted them back up at the end of the summer, this machine, the worm just propagated across the entire, all these machines. Because they weren't updated with the latest Windows patches yet. And by the time our antivirus auto-updated, they were already goners. It was just that fast. Destroyed. Doomed. So now we gotta boot these suckers up.
It's doomed.
Off the network. Go in there at an admin level. We gotta go through the registry. We gotta remove the files. Because what happens is they start up a service, or they start up the worm starts itself up. You can't delete it with your antivirus because Windows doesn't allow you to delete a file that's in use.
If it's in use, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't that suck?
Yes, it does.
Now, I could go in, I could delete my whole partition while it's in use.
Yep.
Linux doesn't complain. The scary thing is it keeps running, too. It's like, whoa. Well, anyway, you got to delete them out of there. You got to turn off the Windows System Restore. And then you got to, reboot the machine, run the virus scan. And some of them are tricky. Some of them don't let you get into the registry. You open up the registry, it shuts it down. Open it up, shuts it down. So you got to go in through safe mode. And the damn thing won't let you run the virus scan in the safe mode. Yeah, so now I've disabled all the workstations, patched about two-thirds of them. Actually, it's about a half of them. Now I got to go back and get them back on the network after I've run the virus scan and run the Windows update and the virus scan again. This is going to be an all-night thing. And it's just stinking me again.
Why? You're not even supposed to be doing that stuff, are you?
No, I'm not.
The web developer or something? Where the hell is the other person? The other people?
Oh, the other person's going on vacation tomorrow.
Well, that's tomorrow, right?
Well.
There's a few hours left until tomorrow.
And then one of our interns, was his last day today. He was supposed to leave at noon. He didn't leave till like 4 o'clock.
Dude.
Oh, it's just a mess. Anyway,
speaking of vacation, dude.
No. Yeah, I know you got it coming up. So this is just another reason not to run these crappy products. And you know
right.
what? No problems with the Macs. No problems with the network server. No problems with the Linux machines.
Of course not.
Not a one problem. Damn, Microsoft, piece of shit. But you got vacation coming up next week.
Well, I start tomorrow.
All right,
tomorrow,
you got vacation coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow after work, 4:30, I'm on vacation for a little over a week, which is
going
to be...
And you're going nowhere.
Awesome. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to be working, doing stuff for the tech show. Because you bums are too lazy to send me sound clips.
No, I sent you a sound clip this evening. I can only... Well, no, there's like 9 of them there.
Ah, uh-huh.
So I can only do it when I come over here, either that or I have to like sit in front of Dan's house with the wireless. Because
There's plenty of wide open Wi-Fi hotspots around here. Just drive around
your
car.
Map,
you
man.
You got the war driving map and you have that new power modulator for your car. So
yeah, they got that. And all I got to do is get I've got to get the walk now and put the two together.
Dude.
Yeah, you know what?
You're trying to tell me there's no place around your apartment complex.
We still got to do that war driving thing together.
Yeah, I've got to put it back. Since I did a 10 on here, I've got to put it back on.
That's what we call it now, Link. War driving.
War driving.
Is that what you call it?
Well, yeah, once I get the walk put together, we can like find some place to like shoot down into the valley and see how many places we can pick up.
That's what they're doing. They're driving the walk.
You know what? When the network went off today, they were doing some... they're trying to fix one of the student database application. They need to download a patch. One of the ideas was, hey, you know where to open Wi-Fi points are around here, don't you? Because I do war driving sometimes.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, there's one right down the street here, you know, 3 miles away. But then if you keep going down to here, you know, there's three,
here's a map.
There's three of them right over there. Yeah, you could just drive on down there and
look,
hop
look
on.
Look at the map over my desk.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at the
wait, let me call up the map on Alan's blog.
Yeah, there you
but
go.
See, now, we got there's a good chunk of Bethlehem. We still need to get the rest of Bethlehem. We need to get Easton.
Yep.
We need to get from Bethlehem into Quakertown.
Yeah. Well, what I need to do is I need someone to babysit the laptop. Because what I was having problems with when I was running around with my wife there on is that Kismet every once in a while would die on me, in which case you have to restart it. But the problem was is she wasn't paying attention to it. So there's a couple of blank spots in my map even on because, you know, I'd be looking over and going, you know, it's not making any noise anymore. Maybe it's dead. And, you know, I had to pull over and restart the application again, and it would be fine for a while. So I don't know if it's, like, flaky drivers because it's using the USB dongle or what. So it has to be watched.
Well, it might be the driver because, like I said, I've been having problems with mine, too. Maybe you were using the same WLAN, the same version of WLAN that I was using. But the weird part is, like, my USB dongle works better than my PCM CIA card.
I didn't even bother to put that. So. I didn't even bother to put the PCM, whatever card in the laptop this time. I just went right to the dongle and left it with that.
He went
right to
dongle.
The dongle.
You heard it here first, folks. Actually, for any of you who are interested and might have any information about my problems with my Wi-Fi card, I'm using the WLAN NG drivers 021 pre-21.
So. Speaking of your problems, did you ever get your SSH tunneling problem?
Yeah, I did.
What was it?
What I did was I changed the script. And in my old script, I used to have it. I used to have the tunnel go through, and then I ran a script in a cron job that checked the tunnel to see if it was, in the process list, it was still up. But for some reason, the tunnel was breaking, and it would never leave the process list. It would hang in the process list, so it never reestablished. And what I did was I just ditched that whole thing, and I changed the script so that the script starts a tunnel, and it sleeps for 15 minutes and then kills the tunnel and restarts it. And then it just restarts it and restarts every 15 minutes. Sleeps for 15 minutes, waits a second, reestablishes the tunnel, sleeps for 15 minutes.
So what if you're in it when it tries to kill it?
It won't close the SSH connection if you're already on one. Your session doesn't stop.
Oh.
So it just, you know, it just, you know, reestablishes a tunnel every 15 minutes in case something happens. Which is good, because I don't have to wait forever and ever and ever to get another tunnel or call somebody up at work and hope that I can have them figure out what they're doing. Yeah.
Okay. Alan, do you have anything news-wise? Oh, were you finished there, Link?
Yeah.
All right, Alan, go ahead, Alan.
News-wise, I upgraded the laptop to Slack 10.
And your impressions are?
Very happy with it. Very happy. It was, I don't know if I'm getting, like, really used to doing this or if it just got easier on it because it was, like, you know, within 45 minutes I had, you know, the base system installed and maybe another hour to get some of the little, you know, the little things I put on installed. And then, yeah, I still have a couple of things I have to put on there, like MPlayer and things like that, but for the most part, it was up and running inside of 2 hours. It was great. That was a complete wipe and everything.
Couldn't get
any easier, I don't think, anymore.
Slack 10 is awesome, I'm telling you. It just gets better and better and better every time.
Now, you know what? I put this on the blog. Respect for Slackware.
Yep.
What I find interesting is I was reading a lot of Linux user and developer
right.
in Linux Magazine, the UK version, this weekend. And I see it a lot in other Linux magazines and on a lot of, you know, like NewsForge and Linux.com and OSNews.com. There seems to be this really big crowd around Debian and Fedora, and all these people are like, oh, you know, hey, you know, try Debian, try Fedora, do this. And they're always praising Debian and Fedora.
Right.
But I don't see a lot of people giving respect to Slackware.
They don't. You know, I've seen mention only maybe a couple of times that I can recall where someone has mentioned that Slackware is like the oldest surviving original Linux distribution, or the oldest surviving Linux distribution at this point in time.
Woohoo! There's a lot of fun going on out there. Maybe we should be out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I was reading an article by John O'Bacon, mm-hmm. nonetheless.
It was quiet there for
a
little bit.
It was. He did a nice, a really good article on recycling old computers, and he talked about using Debian on the old computers.
Right.
And I forget what other distribution he had mentioned on there. And some of the more slim window management. I'm thinking, you know, why doesn't anybody ever bring up Slack anymore? You always look at the magazines,
man.
There's like distro comparison. Slackware's never there.
Right.
But yet,
you
see a review for Slackware, and it always gets really great reviews.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like the Slackware community's driving down in this armored car, you know, this big armored tank full of angry weasels, you know, just driving this thing, and it's whipping as fast as you could think it possibly could whip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just goes.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's, I don't know. And then, you know, like, there's the Debian people, which is this huge ship flying through the sky with everything in the world hanging off of it. And then there's SUSE, which is lumbering behind this huge ox. And then Fedora, which, you know, puts along crashes to get
and
out and fix it.
Mandrake, which has been strangely silent lately. You know?
Well, they even brought up Mandrake in the article. I'm like, man, where the hell's Mandrake been for a year now? After
they always do it. They always bring everything but Slackware. But yet, just like you said, every time you see a review of Slackware, everybody's so surprised about how well it works and how fast it is and how easy it is to install, even with that crusty text interface installer. And
right.
You know.
Now, you know, I'm not knocking Debian or any other distribution. You said, you know, maybe Fedora. Yeah, Fedora's fine, too. But I just don't understand why Slackware just doesn't get the props it should.
I don't know. But it's something we should...
It's the hidden distribution.
Maybe that's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it... You know, only real Linux gearheads use Slackware or something. I don't know.
And well, the wannabe. I don't consider myself a gearhead.
The wannabe gearheads use.
Listen, he's got to be the contrarian now.
Debian.
Oh, yes, I do. I do have to be the contrarian.
I'm not a gearhead.
I'm not.
Use Slackware.
I don't even type all day. I use my mouse. That's what he was telling us earlier. He's not even a real computer user. He's a mouse wielder.
No. I'm a CAD person. I don't have to use a keyboard. No, actually, I do, but it's only
keyboards.
It's only like three keys, so it's not a.
But I just
now that's a tough job, man.
A three key keyboard.
I have to use like all my keys.
Well, I do have to use all of them, but I really only have to use like you know fingers.
Control Alt Delete.
Yeah. That's only on the Windows.
Control Alt Delete.
That's only for the mail
box.
System.
I don't know, man. Slackware just ain't getting the props I think it should get. I guess from this show, that's
oh,
true.
Yeah. That and from our luck, but that's because, you know, we have, like...
we sort of put the fear in everyone to use
slight autonomy there, but... I don't know. I don't know why it's... Why it doesn't get, you know, the...
Well, I think it's because everybody still
gratitude
is,
that
everybody
really
still thinks of it as being this
recognition.
Hard distribution that you've got to like you know 40 floppies that you've got to use to put it on there like you used.
It's
to,
got a
but,
bad
you know.
Reputation, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just it's got that reputation, and you know it's never really worked to get itself out of that reputation, except for the people who use it all the time and go, well, you know, it's gotten really freaking easy now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's wicked easy now, and it works so nice and smooth. You know, it just every release seems to smooth things out even more, and I'm so impressed with it. And the thing that I'm really impressed with this time on 10 is that they're using Xorg,
mm-hmm.
instead of...
Which I was sort of worried about, seeing as the VIO here is so weird to begin with.
Yep.
Of not working. And I just, like, typed Start X and boom, it was
up. Oh, yeah.
I didn't bother to tweak anything for it.
I haven't had to, you know, in all honesty, I don't think I've had to do my own XF86 config file since, like, Slack 7 or something like that.
Well, I came in on
everything 9-1, after that, like, they just, you know what I mean? It was already configured enough to work, kind of like Nopix.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they sort of auto-detect stuff, and it starts up and work, which is really cool. It makes it nice for nice, clean, quick install kind of thing. Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum. Dun, 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 dun. Somebody's having trouble connecting to the stream.
Yeah, Dale is having trouble connecting to the stream.
That's rather odd.
It is.
Because we had more than 8 people on the stream before. We've had 12 people.
We've had a lot of people on the stream.
Well, what's going on there? I wonder if anybody else is having problems.
Well, it could be on his end, too. It could be a bandwidth thing on his end. So,
well, I hope it gets worked out.
Anyway, Dale, you know what, dude? You can always, just like everybody else that's listening or not listening, can download the show after.
Yeah, but he wants to listen live, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to listen live.
Give him a few minutes, maybe I'll get back on it. So. Don't make Dan sad, because I can't stand to see him cry like that. Grown man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Freaking people. Hey, it's 27 after. You want to do our midterm song thingy?
Yeah, and I guess when we come back, we're going to talk about Crux 2.0, PPC 2.0 release candidate.
Yeah.
And running a 2.68 kernel on my powerboat.
Yeah.
And the GPL stuff I screwed up last week.
Running Linux on the powerboat. You know why? Because
you can.
Linux rules. That's why.
And the GPL stuff I screwed up last week. Still didn't get to the lesser GPL yet. I'm still on the day of GPL, the regular GPL.
If you don't understand it by the time Dan gets on with this series,
if you don't understand it by the time Dan gets done mangling it every week, I finally sat down and read it all.
So all right,
skimming.
Let's run
what are
this.
We listening to today?
How about Emanation by Derelict? Anyone?
Okay.
Anyone? Emanation.
I can't remember what we played last week because I listened to
we
so
played
many shows
Alderson and
that.
The Fever before. I don't think we've done Emanation, and if we have, it's been a long time. So let's listen to that. Here we go. Thank you.
What? Damn pop-up. Okay. Okay, here we go. All right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, take it off. Yeah. Go. Damn it. Come on. What's going on? Oh, yeah, okay. That's it. All right. Yeah. There, go for it. Put it on. Prep it all. Shit, shit, shit. All right now. Yeah, all right. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like that. Come on. Yeah. I know it's what you want. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Comes the money. All right. Here we go, baby. Oh, I'm there. Okay. Crash! No! Explorer, no! Pop-ups have you missing the money shot? Get your porn the way it was meant to be. Pop-up free. Get Firefox. It's just better. www.mozilla.org.
What's going on in here?
Nothing now. Mozilla Firefox. Don't get caught with your browser down. Brought to you by the Friends of Firefox and the Explorer Eradication Team.
And there you have it.
Another bit.
The newest.
We'll make that available for download.
Also, send it to all your window using friends.
There you go.
Oh man, oh man.
Bum bum bum. More Audacity fun.
Yep.
And resound. Fantastic.
See, I tried to tell Dan that was a little too racy to put on the air, but he just wouldn't have it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Put it right on there.
You had to contribute to it.
Right there. On it. Well, I just, I did the sanding sound effects.
Yeah, fun, fun, fun. And what did Alan do for that bit?
Absolutely nothing, because I had no clue it was even being done.
Because he doesn't read his mail! Read your mail!
Yeah.
I do, I just don't ever, I don't recall getting that one.
All right.
Oh, man.
So this Friday night, I decided to go for broke and try Crux 2.0 Release Candidate 3. Because even though I was doing a good job with 1.3.1, with the 2.4.24 Ben whatever kernel for PPC.
Ben H kernel, yeah.
Ben H kernel. I said, and I was getting all the GNOME stuff so I can get the latest GIMP. And it dawned on me that a lot of the stuff that I was upgrading was already available in 2.0. So why bother? Why not just go right for the 2.0? And I knew I was going to have problems with the Ben, with the 2.68 kernel.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, that was a bugger to get working. But I braved through it. Took a while.
But why? Doesn't that come? Isn't that the standard one with the 2.0? Crux PPC and stuff?
Yeah, the kernel, which you got to be aware of. That kernel is just basically so you can get the text installer running and install the actual distribution on your machine. It doesn't have any of the extra, bells and whistles. Well, I could get my video card working. Not my video card, my network card working. Right. There are some other issues I had. Like when I first started up X. Well, I should say there are other issues I had not realizing some of the changes in the 2.68 kernel as compared to the 2.4. Series kernel, which that's where I think a lot of my problems came in. Okay. Well, one second. What I'm wondering is Dale's issues. If he's using the latest Slackware, he might have the ALSA drivers.
He might not have the ALSA mixer. Yeah.
The ALSA, what is that, run a mixer?
ALSA mixer. Hey, we're beeping. Guess what that means.
What? Anyway, back to the 2.68 kernel on PPC. They have switched over. See, before I thought, I thought there was the serial stuff, the serial driver, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. With the PPC, when in the 2.6.2.4 kernel, when you saw in Gen 2, it enabled the PC serial devices and it would hang on your machine when it tried to boot past that point.
Right.
Well, I had similar issues, but it wasn't the serial that was doing it. First off, the big problem I had was with the...
I'm still beeping. I'm trying to find a program.
Riva frame buffer device.
Right.
Just does not work anymore with the two with my PowerBook 12-inch and an NVIDIA card, chipset card. I don't give a damn because I don't really want to run Mac on Linux.
Right.
That's fine by me. I'm just good, you know, and I like it faster at the command line than I would experience with running the frame buffer. So I disabled the frame buffer. The network card wasn't giving me the problem. A lot of the problems I was having had to do with the switch to, what is it? Is it UMDev or UDev file system now?
Right.
Instead of the device file system?
Right.
And by default, it's not enabled. The dev file system is not enabled because that's being phased out.
Right.
But another issue I had was I would get it in boot up in either the kernel I was using or in the kernel that came with Crux, and I start to run X, and I get X up, but I couldn't open any X terms, and I get these messages about there not being could not start any additional PTYs.
Uh-huh.
Which I was like, well, what the heck is that all about? How come that's happening? Okay, so what happened was in my FSTAB, my Etsy FSTAB, now I had to add a line in there about dev PTS and have it mounting the dev PTS type file system so that I would have those extra terminals that I can open up and create automatically.
Right.
I never knew that. Didn't have to do that in 2.4. Didn't have that problem before. Another interesting thing was in moving to the dev file system. There's another one called system file system that I had to enable. And I forget what that was for. But now when I mount the drive, when the drives are mounted, they're not mounted as like dev HDA anymore. It's dev like IDE host 0, bus 0, target 0, LUN 0, part, partition, whatever.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's kind of like a whole new thing, which I wasn't prepared for. So I had to redo my yabu.conf file.
Right.
I mean, every time I compile this kernel, I'd be like running, trying to get it into the yabin to update. I'd have to reboot with the crux CD, get in there, recompile the kernel, adjust my yabu, and then try and reboot into this thing. So it took me a huge amount of time to finally get this kernel config file.
Yeah, I was really hoping that they would not go, you know, forward with that file system crap because, it's crazy, too long of a string of junk. You know what I mean? For you to find where things, and everybody's used to the old DevFS file system entries anyway, so. Yeah.
I don't understand. I guess it's something I got to do more research on than reading up on it as to where they're going. I mean, first I got it with the USB files, the libUSB now.
Right.
And, you know, now we got is it UDev?
Thank you, yeah.
UDev, all that change going on there. So there's a lot of changes that if you're not prepared for them, you're not, you know, keeping up with that stuff, it's going to catch you off guard one of these days. And you're going to be scratching your head going, could I listen to that damn tech show episode about that UDev, about this day device file system, USB file system, all sorts of funky stuff. So there's a lot of changes going on, which is a big difference from 2.2 to 2.4. Now 2.4 to 2.6 is a lot of significant changes. But Crux,
right?
The install was just as snappy as doing 1.3. Perfect install, 10 minutes.
Right.
Compiling the kernel just took a little longer. What's nice about the 2.6 kernels is when you recompile them, it doesn't go through the whole damn thing. It just compiles what you know, the changes that you've made. Unless it's really significant changes that affect a lot of different parts. like, you know, if you compile that IDE or SCSI support, that's going to make a lot of big changes in some files.
Right.
But really simple to do. Just took a while. Then the next hurdle was getting X to work properly. What was a pain in the ass was when I'd run X, because they use an X11, not X3.
Right.
X11. And if I tried to do the X auto config, I wouldn't have any mouse support because it's looking for like dev mouse or dev PA. It's not going to like the PPC mouse what it should be. So there I am trying to, you know, use the number pad to move it around. Oh, that was a faded device. Finally, I just gave up and I started to tweak it myself and I pulled the one in that I had from my old X from previous Crux version.
Right.
But that used a frame buffer. So I had to switch over to using the NVIDIA. I had to get everything right. Luckily, I found some guy on the web who had an XF86 free config file for PowerBook.
Right.
And I pulled that down, just renamed it to Xorg, made a few adjustments to it so I can get my mouse to work, the PS IMPS driver, and have my nice little wheel. And it came up perfectly. I was having trouble getting anything above 800 by 600.
That's a good point there, by the way.
Was that?
Though, you found help on the web with that XF, that with your Xorg driver kind of stuff, your Xorg file, comp file. A lot of people don't bother to do that kind of stuff anymore, and I have found a lot of help off the web, you know, Googling around with stuff like that, too. So, you know, if you have some kind of weird, funky hardware, set up a website somewhere and stick that stuff up so other people can find it, you know?
When I was setting up the PowerBook, the laptop I have, on it, that one has a really weird setting in it as well for the X to work in it. And luckily, I found somebody who had already done that for the same book and everything. So I was able to get, he put his config file up on the web. I was able to download that, and it worked perfectly.
Yeah, man, I've done that several times, and that's, you know, man, that's a lifesaver if you really need it, if you can't figure out what's wrong. And not many people do that anymore, me included, so I probably will have to go check through some of my crap and see if I have any interesting thing that I need to put on the web, too.
That's what I'd like to put under that PPC Linux.info. Was that it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
To be able to help
people.
I mean, my config file. I eventually go back and tweak the kernel. Now that, you know, because I turned off some stuff, turned on some stuff, and trying to figure out exactly what the hell was going on here. But now I'd like to go back and
yeah, that would be awesome to stick on there.
That's more specific to the PowerBook here that I have. That and the X config file, just to help people out. Dun, dun, dun.
Getting Linux running on their boxes, man.
You got it.
Yeah.
And Crux is a nice little distribution. Mm-hmm. I really, really like. I'm using it right now. I just made a package for Linux and a package for RxVT because I love those two applications. Got to have them. Yup.
Yeah.
I think
you got to have Aterm, man. You don't have to have RxVT. You need to have Aterm.
I like RxVT.
Aterm is bitchy.
Because of the transparency support.
Well, no, even without the if you do it without the transparency support, it's snappier, and I don't get as many complaints shelling in other Unix boxes. RxVT, a lot of other Unix boxes don't know what the hell that is, and Aterm puts itself through as an Xterm, so it pretty much goes right through, not a problem. Anyway. You know what Dale says, right?
What does Dale say?
Dale here. It's a very important public announcement. You, or a friend, or a family member you know use Windows? Time to call me and say no. Stop it before it's too late. If you say it, this may be your own. Thank you. And paid for it by the Linux Learn Console.
Yeah.
And that's what Dale says.
That's what he says.
Even though he may not be able to hear us right now.
Even though he can't hear us right now. He will eventually, you know, he'll
get this thing worked out.
He'll either get his stream going on or he'll just download the damn show and listen to it that way. One of the two.
I don't know.
something, something.
Hey.
B.
Hey.
You know, I'm watching the chat as, you know, people are trying to help him out. And it's like questions are coming from all over the place. It's like, do you have any sound at all? Does it work with any system sounds? Do you have, I'm like, do you have a TV tuner card in there? Just run A-Mix, Allison Mixer. Alan's like, are you running KDE? Like, what the hell's going on?
Well, the only reason
stock
I said,
laptop
I said
and AC97 sound.
Yeah,
AC97
the only reason
coder.
I say KDE is because a lot of times system sounds tend to hold up. There's a server, a sound server that runs
Arts.
A KDE.
Yeah, Arts.
That system sounds tend to hold it up because I have problems with, like, Audacity. If a system sound comes through, Audacity stops to work. So I have to write a little script at the beginning to kill the sound server and then start Audacity, otherwise it won't work. So I was wondering if maybe that's the same thing with his.
Yeah, and then
to kill the sound server first and then start XMMS.
Now there's also he's running GNOME, so he might be using eSound Daemon.
Okay, I don't know how to kill that one.
No, I think I know what this problem is. I wish he could hear us right now because I think I know what his problem is. He says he's running a stock laptop and he's got an AC97 sound card, which is kind of like my Dell here has, and it will not repeat work with ALSA, and ALSA is the default on Slack 10. And there's an easy way around that, if that's the problem, but I got to get him to tell me what his sound card actually
is. Is it Slack 10 or is it with the ALSA, that version of the ALSA driver?
It's ALSA will not work on, it won't work on my laptop at all, period.
Now,
but Slack 10 comes with ALSA loaded by default. Well, now, all you got to do to fix that is go into packages.
Not only flap your gums on the
it.
Tech show, but type out your.
Well, I'm waiting for him to tell me what. I asked him what his sound card shows up as in an LSPCI. And I'll see if that's, you know, if he's got the same kind of card that I do. If so, that's what we'll do, you know, because I'm betting that a fixed problem.
Maybe. All right, well, you're helping him out with that, and Alan's just sitting there watching what's going on. And
yeah, I put in my two and a half cents there. Yeah.
Let's talk about the GPL there
audio.
For a minute.
You're going too fast, Dale.
What, you can't
Intel
read?
Corp 8201EB/ER.
And what's that mean?
Is that what it said?
Yeah, 82801EB/ER.
Mine's a Neo Magic.
Or 87. I'm trying to think if there is a. Oh! I heard the UPSs go. Something went flickery.
It's that time again.
Speaking of UPSs, how's your UPS? Remember your UPSs we got a couple years ago from Best
yes.
Buy? How are yours holding up?
Pretty well, I guess.
Because, like, the one I have down there, it does funky things. Like, I don't know what happens.
Beeping
it's
in
like
the
all of a
that?
Sudden it starts beeping and going, like, there's no power to it anymore.
I don't know which one you have.
Your
mine does a self-test every now and then.
But it shuts off.
Mine don't.
Oh,
mine shuts off, and then you can't. Then you gotta plug it in without anything into it for like a long for a while, so it charges back up.
Your battery sounds like either your battery's going out or your charger's going out on it,
or maybe your power went out.
No, I don't see it that it went out, but I think I might need to steal a new one from work or something. I have one of those iPods. I still have one in my car in the back of my car. How did that UPS that I gave you work out?
You gave me the laser printer.
No, it's me that you're supposed to give the UPS to, and you never did yet. So.
No, wait a minute. Didn't I give you a UPS also?
No, I had no room for the UPS.
Oh, you mean I have two UPSs in the back of my car still.
So, all right, now that you brought that up, I'm going to make sure that I snag that on the way out of here tonight.
Yeah, it would be a good idea, because back of my car is sagging. Those things are heavy.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Holy mackerel, those are heavy. Anyway, last week we talked about... last week we talked about the GPL. The week before that we talked about the GPL. So it gets some, you know, little misconceptions, some confusions in talking about what was going on. Not a lot of clarity in that conversation beforehand. So I finally went out and I got the skinny on the GPL. I understand it pretty well, and I'm going to relate it to you right now, Link, so that you are not confused by what you can and cannot do with regards to free software. Because I know that's burning on your mind, because you've been watching Alan make packages and stuff, posting them and distributing them and doing it in an illegal fashion that violates the GPL.
Oh.
You bastard.
Oops.
Yeah. All right, so, you know, simply...
He's a bad man, Mommy.
The GPL gives you three basic freedoms, all right? The freedom to use the software, the code, any way you want to. The freedom to make changes to the code, and the freedom to distribute the code and the software. Okay? And there's only one restriction, that if you make changes...
Ouch.
All right. Well, two restrictions, we'll say. If you distribute it, you must distribute the source
right.
along with it. If you change the code in any way, you must distribute, you know, document your changes and distribute the code
right.
with it. Now, you cannot place any further restrictions upon the code, that or else you're in violation of GPL, and you cannot distribute the code at all. All right? So... You may modify the code as you see fit and distribute it with the requirements, provided that you also, one, document the changes in the files you changed and date the changes were made. You must comply with the GPL requirements for distribution and third-party use, which means you cannot place any other restrictions. Third party has all the rights transferred to them through the GPL. And one of the restrictions is if your program... would read commands interactively to run, it must display the copyright and warranty disclaimer right off when you first start it. Okay? Like if it reads commands into the program in order to run, you must have it like put up a splash screen about the warranty. Now if your program is itself interactive, like for instance the GIMP,
right.
You start it up, if you go to the about page, that's where you'll see the warranty information.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily have to have display the license, the GPL, right when it starts. All right? Okay, now. Now, distribution of binaries. Say you want to distribute binaries of GPL software.
Right.
Well, you must also provide, with the distribution of the binaries, the machine-readable source code. Okay? Now, you have to be able to provide the source code in a media of your choice that they can get from you via mail, okay? So if somebody would write to you and say, look, I want you to send me the source code of this file you distributed, send it to me through the mail, you could put it on a floppy disk, on a CD. Hey, if you're kind and generous, you could put it on a flash card for them, okay? You must be able to provide them with the source code. Now, you can charge for the media and the cost to deliver them the source code. You can charge however much you want, but you cannot exceed the cost of the binary. All right. So if you're selling a GPL application, like say you made Foo, which does Fooey things, and you sold it for like $30, and someone wrote to you and said, well, I want... the source. You can give them the source, you know, if they want it through the mail. You can make it available for download, but they also have to be able to get it through the mail from you. You can give that, you know, you can say, well, you want the source, you want me to mail it to you, you're going to have to pay the cost of materials. And you can charge them up to the $30 it costs for the binary, but you cannot charge them more than the binary for the source. Now, that written offer is valid for 3 years, so that means you must make the source available for up to 3 years. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if you're a non-commercial entity, okay, you can accompany your binary with the information on where they can actually get the original source code. So they don't have to actually come to you. They can go to another location to get it. You can pass that on if you're a non-commercial entity. Okay, but the requirement is if you're going to distribute any kind of free software, that the recipient of your software that they receive from you has a right to get the source code of that software from you via the mail. That's a requirement of the GPL. Now, the only way... You cannot impose any further restrictions on any recipient's right to use the code. All right? So if your application's licensed under the GPL, you can't impose any other restrictions on them. If somebody else gets that application, they're not allowed to impose any other restrictions based upon the GPL. Should they do that, they cannot distribute the application. Should they place further restrictions upon it, they can't distribute it, or they'll be in violation of the GPL.
Right.
Now, DEC is a little interesting for developers and corporations and companies, that if a company contracts you to develop an application for them, they can contract you under sort of a non-disclosure agreement or whatever, that you can't distribute the code. All right? That's a valid contract if the company contracts you to develop an application based upon the source, GPL software. You make your changes, modifications. What you have to do is provide that company with the original, with your source code, with your changes and everything. Now, this doesn't mean you can distribute it, but you've given it to them. They hired you to do that. Then the company can do whatever they want with that. If they want to keep it to themselves, that's up to them. If they want to distribute it, they have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if they choose not to allow the source code to be distributed, to be out or to release the source code or do whatever, place any further restrictions, they cannot distribute that application beyond their company. So if Alan is hired to write a program by Company A, okay, and he writes the program, makes the changes, it's all GPL.
Wait. You can't do that. You can't use that as an example.
Why?
Because Alan doesn't type. He only uses a mouse.
Okay. That's true.
It'd be way too hard for me to program.
All right. So Alan uses his new fandangled mouse to create this program.
Right.
Anyway, now, you get the application. It's your company link. You could do whatever you want with that within your company.
Well, I'm going to hire somebody that types then.
Right. You don't have to release the source code. Now, if I buy the program from you or you distribute the program from me, I could do whatever I want with that program and the source code then. So if you wanted to keep it all to yourself, but you distributed it to me, I have the right to do whatever I want with it. I can distribute it. I can sell it. I can do whatever I want to because it's under the GPL. So you cannot place any further restrictions upon it if you distribute it. There is only one kind of restriction that can be placed on GPL software, and that is if there is if certain restrictions are placed by a country, either due to patents or copyright interfaces of a country, you may place a geographical distribution limitation excluding those countries. Like if you can't import or export certain types of software, that's where a restriction can be placed on your GPL code. And you would have to do that yourself. Now, you do not have to release the source code or any of your changes if you use the software privately. But if you distribute it in any way, you must release the source code and the changes. We covered that. Now, if you sell the software, okay, you sell the software to me, and then I say I want the source code, and you say, well, you can either download it for free or I'll sell you the source code, I could turn around and I can sell that source code or I can make it available for free. By you selling it to me does not mean that I have to further carry on a cost of the application. Okay? You cannot apply a non-disclosure agreement upon GPL software. That is, if Company A is going to... if Company A would sell you GPL software or give you GPL software, they cannot put an NDA upon that software saying that you cannot distribute you, or if that NDA in any way violates the GPL, that is illegal, and they cannot do that. You understand that, Link?
Yes.
You understand that. So an NDA cannot be placed upon the GPL software. Now, we had asked about libraries a couple weeks ago, okay? If you have an application that wants to make use of a GPL library, you have to GPL that application. No ifs, ands, buts about it. If it's going to use that library, you have to GPL the application. Now, if you want to use, if you're going to use a GPL building application, you want to link to a non-GPL library, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that, okay? If the library is already a major part of a proprietary operating system, you know, you can link to that library if it's a major part of an operating system. You do not need to include the source code for that library, but you do need to get permission from the copyright holders of the original source code. So if this isn't your application, if you're going to modify it and link it to a proprietary library, you can do that, but you're going to have to get permissions from all the other developers before that becomes okay. Now, if your application, all right, if you want to make use of, say, a plugin type component to your application, or other commands or other, you know, pieces of software, if that software is dynamically linked to your software, it must be under the GPL. Now, if the GPL application makes use of a fork or the exe command to invoke the plugin, and the plugin is a separate part of the, you know, a separate piece, not actually required by the application, then you can link to, then you can link to that application by forking or using exec, and that application or plugin does not have to be GPL. Now, you might be wondering, if you're going to provide a binary on the website, if you make some changes to the source code, why not just provide a diff file that somebody can take the original source code, apply the diff file?
Why not?
No, you can't do that.
Do a diff file.
You cannot do that. You must provide the complete sources. One of the reasons for that is, say, the source where you provided, you know, a link to said source is made available, and that link disappears or it's not available anymore, then they can't get the source. And besides, they have a right. If you distribute the software, they third party has the right to come back to you and get the original sources via mail, if they want to. Now, an interesting thing I read about GPL, and say a company takes some GPL software, modifies it, and uses the application as part of their website for public view and usage, so the public doesn't actually get the distributed binary of the result, but they're running this and it's being made available to the public as part of their website or something like that. Right now, the GPL does not cover that in their license. They're looking to amend the license, and they're trying to figure out how to do that to require that, should they modify something and make it available for use through, like, their website, then they must that's considered distribution, and they must provide the source and changes. So that's one of the things that's in the works right now. Now, so the question might come up is, if you have GPL software and you want to distribute it with non-GPL software, can you do that? Yeah, you can. The requirement of GPL software, if you were to put XMMS together, if that's under the GPL, is that under GPL? XMMS, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because they're having some kind of debate about XMMS and is it XMMS? No, was it XMMS or XChat? Might have been one of them running under Windows.
XChat.
Is it XChat? Okay, well, all right, then I don't know.
Okay.
Evidently, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Now,
it's just nothing new.
Let's say you, for argument's sake, XMMS is GPL.
Okay.
And Mozilla is not GPL. It's under the Mozilla public license. Now, maybe there's some restrictions in the Mozilla public license that, you know, make it violate the GPL. Can you distribute those two applications together on the same CD? Yes, you can. All right, they're two separate applications. If you have an application that integrates with GPL, if you write an application that integrates with a GPL application, if that application is a separate entity upon itself that runs outside the GPL application, you don't have to make that application GPL. You don't have to release that under the GPL.
Yeah.
If it's a separate standalone application, but they can integrate. Now, you got to be careful how they integrate. Okay? Again, like I said, if they dynamically integrate with one another, then that's a problem. But if it's like a separate, like they can pass information back and forth, so long as they don't actually link to one another, but they can share the information through forking or through the use of the EXEC, then you don't have to worry whether that application is the GPL also, released under the GPL. Now, does that clarify some stuff for you, Alan? It's a little, it does get a little confusing.
It gets confusing, but...
It can be, but you just have to remember that with the GPL, you have a right to the source code, you have a right to modify the source code, you have a right to distribute the source code, and you have a right to use it any way that you want to. And you cannot, you know, if you make modifications or changes and you distribute them, you must provide the modifications and the changes, and you cannot put further restriction upon the software that the third party who gets your you distribute to has all the same rights that you received.
Yeah.
You cannot place further restrictions upon it. That's the big requirement right there. If you're going to integrate this with other software, if you're linking it to other software, that software has to be released under the GPL. Unless it can be integrated in such a fashion that it forks or it makes use of the EXEC command, and that it's not an actual part of your application or a GPL application, then you don't have to release that other application under the GPL, or it doesn't have to be GPL. If you're going to use non-GPL libraries, that's an exception. You need to get permission from the other developers if you're going to do that. They don't like that you do that, but occasionally they understand that you might have to. Particularly if it's like a library that's integrated into the operating system already, a rather large library, important library, then the library doesn't have to be a GPL-based library. So, cover your ass, Alan. This is all you need to do. If you're going to distribute, you got to make the source code available for that person, third party, to get from you. You need to document your changes. You need to date your changes. And you need to also be aware that anything you distribute, you must provide the source code in a format suitable for mailing to that person for up to 3 years. And should that person pass that software on to somebody else, they can come to you, because by proxy, the rights trickle down, they come back to you and get the source code for up to 3 years from when you released it. Easy stuff, huh?
Certainly.
That's it.
Bitching.
Next week we'll talk... No, 2 weeks we'll talk about the lesser GPL and how that differs from the regular GPL. Because, you understand what I'm saying? So you can make money off of free software, all right? You can sell free software. There's no problem with doing that. But if you sell the software, you must make the source available, you know, to the people you distributed to. And you can either provide it as a download from the website, but if you choose not to do that and you want to charge for it, for instance, you can charge no more than the cost of the binary. Preferably the cost of the materials that it takes to ship it, to put it all together. But no more, absolutely no more than the cost of the binary that you sold. But understand this, that once you do that, you can't place any further restrictions on the distribution of those sources. So if Link buys it from you, and he buys the sources from you, he can make those sources available for free off his website. You can't do anything about that, even though I know you're the kind of guy that would want to.
Certainly not me, no.
So the whole point of free software all boils down to this. Share and share alike.
Yeah.
Everybody benefits then. If you're going to hire somebody to write an application for you or modify some GPL software, release those changes to the community. You know, you get, at the very least, you're in compliance with the GPL. But secondly, hey, you might get some added features that you didn't, you know, think about before.
Think about first.
Or
yeah.
Maybe some of that code could get cleaned up. Maybe there's some bug in there that somebody will find out. Or, you know, if later on down the line a new version is released.
By someone who can really type.
Yeah. If a new version is released, maybe they'll incorporate the changes that your company wants in addition to some, you know, changes at another company to enhance what you already have. But if you keep it to yourself, you run the risk of having incompatibility issues. That if the binary or if the source code gets updated and you want to use a newer version, maybe your changes won't work. Or they won't be available. You'll have to get that developer to come in and make those changes again.
Community what Dan benefits. Said.
Damn right, it's what Dan said. And he's coming at you with an axe.
Damn right.
I'm going to cut your head off, Link. I see you typing away over there not paying attention.
I'm trying to help our buddy Dale.
Speaking
out.
Of, Dan does have an axe in here.
Yeah, I've got an axe in here. A couple of swords. And I got an ass full of gas.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of that, my wife made a pretty good dinner tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah, enchiladas and pretty fried beans. But you know what? The air's been pretty clean.
It has.
I don't know what's
it
up with
has.
That.
Well, you had the door closed there for a while.
You gotta build it up a little bit, you know.
We'll see what happens. But that was my talk on the GPL. It should be made clear to everybody now, yes? Is it clear to you, Link?
Absolutely.
Alan?
Certainly.
Any further questions?
Clear as only Dan could do it. Right?
Dun, dun, dun. That's right. Were you playing something here?
Yeah.
Is it already over?
I'm creeping the music up, man. It's quarter after 10.
Is it quarter after 10 already?
Yes, sir, it is.
Damn, I got to get the word.
You've just been wailing away.
And next week, we're probably going to have Skype working as well, or at least
that's
we're going
right.
to hope for.
We had intentions on doing that today and trying it out. Unfortunately, we just had time constraints, I guess, or something. We'll give it a shot, though, next week. And
What? You know, here's a question.
Okay.
I was toying around the idea of this week on the stream of just playing all the shows so far. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Sure.
Little break from the music and the repetitive.
Yeah, because
that'd
be cool.
Stuff.
Then you know we have. I can just like keep it on and listen to the shows as they go by. That would be really cool.
Right. So. And it might be tomorrow because I got to go into work tonight and I don't have time to set all that crap up.
We got 49 shows, right? And next week is number 50, the 1 year anniversary.
So, yeah, we'll just play the shows over and over again.
Cool.
Dun, dun, dun. And yes, if you
play
part
the
of
shows
the log,
over and over again, that's 50 freaking hours, man.
Yeah. If you're part of the LV Log, we are part of the O'Reilly Network, and you do get a discount from O'Reilly.
It's should be DSUG for our discount code. I'm thinking.
Fantastic.
All right, boys and girls.
That's Dan's sexy user group.
That's
DSUG
right.
stands for.
We are going to call it quits here, and we're going to catch you next week with our very special 50th episode.
Yes.
That's our one-year anniversary. Happy anniversary to us.
I'm
Link.
I'm Alan.
Dan.
See ya.
Oh, my...
Pulling the Flink Tech Show.